No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Memorial Day in the United States. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. This is a day that we used to call Decoration Day, and though we've been observing it since shortly after the end of the Civil War, some don't realize it's a relatively new innovation in the federal calendar, becoming an official holiday in 1971. Today we reflect on and offer our thanks to those who fought and served in the military and made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Though no one alive can recall a Memorial Day quite like this one, can they? As we go to air, the Texas General Land Office is hosting a Memorial Day service online, a technical and medical concession to the ongoing war against COVID-19. Retired Navy four-star Admiral William McCraven is set to speak. For many Texans, Memorial Day marks not just a day of reflection, but something like the unofficial start of summer, too. A dividing line on the calendar, if you will. And over the weekend, we saw many people across the nation returning to the beaches and swimming pools to beat the heat without much apparent regard for social distancing and face masks. Though a welcome sight to some, it's hard to imagine those images didn't catch the eye of Dr. Peter Hotez. Since the start of this pandemic, the founding dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine and professor of pediatrics and molecular virology and microbiology at the Baylor College of Medicine has become a go-to around the world for insight on the race for a vaccine and efforts to combat the coronavirus. He joins us now to talk about the state of the state in this fight as Texas moves toward the next phase in reopening businesses on May 31st. Dr. Hotez, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I want to start with a story making headlines in recent days. Last week, Texas's Department of State Health Services revealed that its daily COVID-19 test count included viral tests, which test whether a person currently has the virus, as well as an antibody test, which tells whether someone did have the virus. Now, I'm curious, this conflation has been happening across the country, too. Apparently, the CDC made the same mistake. How much does this compromise what we know and don't know about where we stand in the fight against COVID-19?
Well, you know, I have sort of a somewhat unique point of view on this, which is that our testing has been so mangled nationally and that we have such modest levels of testing across the country, even though the president and the White House always talks about the total numbers of tests. That's true. It's pretty high. But when you look at the size of our country, we're still underachieving, and we're certainly underachieving and have been underachieving in Texas. So rather than beat a dead horse and, you know, complain we're not testing enough, one of the things that I think we can really step up and do a much better job with is what's called syndromic surveillance, where you do some sentinel testing to get a better sense of who's popping up with fever, who's popping up with respiratory symptoms. And there's a number of different systems that are out there. And I think that might give us a better sense. And there's urgency because depending on whose models you look at, now that we're relaxing social distancing ahead of the time when we were supposed to do it, we're seeing some projections of pretty steep increases in the number of cases in places like Harris County, Dallas County. So I'm really worried as we head into the summer.
Well, now, when you consider all the data out there, the daily cases, the deaths, the hospitalizations, the positivity rate, what are the metrics that matter most to you? What are you paying most attention to right now?
What I pay attention to are a couple of things. One, ICU admissions and hospitalizations, because you can't hide those. That's something very real and tangible. Not that anyone's trying to deliberately hide anything, but you get the idea that that's something you know is real and you can hang on to. And those numbers have overall done pretty well in the state of Texas because we enacted social distancing early on when we saw things going badly in New York. So I look at the hospitalizations and ICU admissions, and then I try to look at the projections, because the way this works is as follows. As we see a relaxing of social distancing, if the cases go up, if you look at all the models, it's not that the cases go up in a linear fashion. You see, okay, a little more tomorrow, a little more after that, a little more after that. The way it works is things will stay flat, and they'll probably stay flat for another month. And people will get this false sense of complacency and say, hey, this is not so bad, and they're going to start going back into the bars and get life as usual. And then the cases start to rise precipitously. And then it's too late. Then you start seeing ICUs and hospital beds get overwhelmed. So that's why I'm thinking, let's put this syndromic surveillance system in place so we can at least pick that up a little sooner. And because, you know, some of the models coming out of Philadelphia, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and Penn Policy Lab look absolutely apocalyptic when you see the numbers going up. And I hope that doesn't happen, but it's not impossible.
When you assess the trends that we're seeing as the state continues its phased reopening, what do you make of it? I mean, do you think that the governor has handled this well? He says he's being consulted. He's getting consultations from health experts from across the state. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, the governor's in a tight spot, and I actually, you know, have some empathy for the governor. You know, it's tough. I mean, it's hard. Well, first of all, it's heartbreaking, right, to see, you know, we Texas has had one of the most the strongest economies anywhere in the nation. And I, like a lot of Texans, like to think of Texas as the Republic of Texas and with an economy the size of Russia or Australia. And to watch that economy suffer is really heartbreaking. So I get it, and I get his urgency to open things up. But then if you're going to do that, put the checks and balances that you need to ensure you can sustain that economy, because if the cases start rising again, everything's going to fold. So that means putting in place all of those things that are somewhat inconvenient, which is the scaling up testing at work, scaling up contact tracing. I think the number of contact tracers that have been hired is something like 2,000, whereas Cuomo in New York has hired 17,000 for a state that's much smaller. I mean, why aren't we using our resources? Texas has the greatest engineers in the world because of our oil and gas industry and NASA and the Texas Medical Center. Let's bring some of those people together to create the world's greatest syndromic surveillance system. We're leaving a lot of stuff on the table.
Well, now let me ask you, because I mentioned those photographs that have been circulating online about people at beaches and in swimming pools. And yet, you know, I go to Home Depot or something and there are lines as people, you know, are watching the doors and making sure that there aren't that the building isn't overcrowded. There's 6 feet distance between everyone. Everyone's wearing a mask. Do you get the sense that people are collectively letting their guard down, or are we doing this right?
No, I think we will. You know, it's human nature, right? We're going to start letting our guard down. You know, we're hearing all of these phase one, phase two, one quarter full, one half full. I don't see it lasting very long. I think people will keep it up for a week or two, and then it's going to be back to business. And with that, I think that's when you're going to start over the not right away again, but, you know, by July or August, we could see that steep rise. I mean, the only way we're going to get away with this is if the effects of sunlight and heat really are substantial. And we don't really know that. So that might mitigate somewhat, but how much, I can't really tell you.
Before we sign off, Dr. Hotez, I want to ask about some of the vaccination news that we've been hearing lately. Several vaccine developers announcing last week they'd made progress on potential drugs that could safely inoculate people from COVID-19. Is there any approach that to you in particular looks promising?
You know, the vaccine data that I've seen so far in non-human primates and in the one clinical trial we've seen in people have not been all that impressive. Because, you know, one of the things that we found working on coronavirus vaccines over the last decade and in the data so far is that much of it is about achieving high levels of a certain type of antibody called neutralizing antibody. And so far, the levels that I've been seeing is sort of meh, not terribly impressive. So far, what we're looking at maybe it could be partially protective vaccines at best. But again, it's still early. So there's still opportunities for improvement. There's still opportunities for tweaks. We're hoping to get our vaccine into clinical trials sometime later this year, maybe by September. And so there's still a long road ahead. But this idea that we're going to have a vaccine available for everybody for the fall, I think we have to get out of that notion.
Dr. Hotez, you're an educator as well as an expert in vaccines. I'm just curious, as you step back for a moment, what sort of grade would you give Texas on managing and handling the coronavirus so far?
Well, if you'd asked me that 2 weeks ago, I would have said you get an A rating. And the reason is because we saw bad stuff happening in New York City. And we said, we don't want that to happen here. We implemented aggressive social distancing and we bought ourselves a lot of time. But, you know, I'm concerned now what we're seeing over the last couple of weeks, which is relaxing social distancing. And I get that. But two trends are happening that worry me. One is that people think it's all over and it's business as usual. And then we're not putting in place all the things we could be to ensure we can open safely in terms of the public health infrastructure. And it's no fault of the public health leaders. I think the city and county health directors are doing everything they can. They're just not being given all the tools and resources they need to get the job done.
Dr. Peter Hotez is professor of pediatrics and dean for the National School of Tropical Medicine, Baylor College of Medicine. Dr. Hotez, good to talk with you again, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks so much.